It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and wow, it's been a great 2 weeks as I've been teaching on the covenant names of God found in the pages of the Old Testament. I could go on again for another week, but we're going to wind it up today with a great name for God that's found in the book of Genesis chapter 16, and it says this in the first verse, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children." See, friend, God had promised Abram that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the heavens, but years passed, and still there was no son. So Abram, who later became Abraham, his wife Sarah is now growing old, and she panics, and she does what we oftentimes do. She tries to help God out. She gives her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, to Abram, a desperate plan, and it has a disastrous outcome. Hagar conceives, and Sarah becomes jealous, and Abram washes his hands of the conflict. And then Sarah begins mistreating Hagar, and Hagar runs. She runs into the wilderness. It's a picture of isolation, despair, and hopelessness. Out in the middle of the desert. Have you ever been pushed into the wilderness by someone else's decision? Have you ever ended up in a place of pain because of things that happened beyond your control? Maybe it was the betrayal of a friend, a failed marriage, a business partner who walked away, or a church that hurt you instead of helped you. Hagar didn't sign up for this. She was a servant, but not a strategist. And now she's all alone, she's pregnant, she's scared, she's rejected. And that is exactly where God meets her. And in Genesis 16, verse 7, it simply tells us the angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. The word angel there means messenger. And whenever the Bible refers to the angel of the Lord, many times this is referring to God himself. And we'll see that this was definitely God himself by what Hagar actually calls him. The word found here is interesting because the angel of the Lord found Hagar here. It actually means he was looking for her. This isn't just any angel. This is likely a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. They call it a theophany. The very presence of God comes to her in the middle of her deepest hurt. And the Bible says, the angel of the Lord said to her, so Christ speaks to her, and he says, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from, and where are you going?" Sometimes God doesn't ask us questions because he doesn't already know the answer. Sometimes he asks them so that we'll reflect upon the question. God asks questions here not for his information, but for our revelation. He wants her to think about her story, her pain, her direction, her future. And she responds, "I'm running away." Friend, are you running today? Are you running from responsibility, maybe from your past, from a failure? Maybe you're running from God. Listen today, friend, God sees you right where you are. He comes looking for you. The Bible said in verse 9, "Then the angel of the Lord told her, 'Go back.'" That must have been very hard for Hagar to hear. When God tells her to go back into an uncomfortable situation, a situation that brought pain and hurt. But sometimes God's will is not escape, but it's endurance. Sometimes he chooses to take us through the fire, through the pain. And then God goes on to fill her with promise in verse 10. God says this, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." Even though Ishmael would not be the son of promise, because that would be Isaac, to which all the Jews come from. But Ishmael would end up being the father of all the Arab nations. And God did bring a blessing upon the Arab people, my friend. He blessed me because my wife, her ancestors, came from Lebanon. But today on the news, I was watching Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia. And the wealth and the amazing things they're building there in Saudi Arabia. And looking at this, I realize that all that wealth and all the opulence of all this city they're building and everything going on in Saudi Arabia comes from this promise that God made to Hagar in the middle of her pain. This is what he said in verse 10. I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. You see, friend, God speaks purpose into Hagar's pain. He gives her a prophetic word here about her unborn son, Ishmael. Yes, Ishmael's descendants would be a wild people, but they would be a great nation. Even in brokenness, God gave birth here to a promise in the heart of this maidservant, Hagar. There was a woman who once lost her son in a tragic accident, and for years she kept every piece of broken glass from the windshield. And one day she met an artist who created mosaics. She gave him all the shards, and he made a beautiful image of a dove in flight. And she wept. Something beautiful came from what broke me, she said. See, friend, that's what God does. He makes beauty from ashes. He gives birth to hope in the middle of all your pain. We've gone through the various names of God. We started with Elohim, the creative name of God, and we went through them one by one. We came to the name that David ascribed to God, which is Jehovah Rohi, which is the Lord my shepherd. Now, this name sounds very similar. The name that God's going to be given here by Hagar is Jehovah Roi, without the, doesn't have the H sound like the name Rohi that means shepherd. This name, Roi, means sees. So when she ascribes to God, you are El Roi, you are the God who sees. Not just a God who sees the world, but the God who sees me. This is the heart of the message today, that God sees you. He knows right where you are. He knows right what you're going through. And he sees the future. He sees the end from the beginning. He's not just a God who sees the world. He sees you, friend. Hagar was an outcast. She was a servant, a woman, a foreigner. And yet she's the first person in Scripture to give God a name. All the others, God gave them the name, but here, Hagar ascribes a name to God. You are El Roi. You are the God who sees me. And it's one of the most intimate names ever spoken. El Roi. Jehovah Roi. He's the God who sees me. Let me give you three simple truths today about what it means to be seen by God. First of all, God sees our affliction. In Psalm 34 and verse 15, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry." See, Hagar was abused. She was forgotten. She was mistreated by Sarah, and she was fleeing. She was running to get away from that place. But you know what? God saw her affliction. He sees the night you cry yourself to sleep. He sees the doctor's reports. He sees the bills that are stacking up on the desk. He sees the loneliness, the anxiety that you hide behind a smile. My friend, God sees our affliction, and guess what? He cares. He really does. Secondly, God sees our future. God doesn't just see where Hagar was. He saw what she would become. He saw Ishmael, the child that was in her womb, and he saw that out of him would come great nations. And we see now, but God sees the next. When you feel stuck, I want to remind you today that God sees your tomorrow before it ever arrives. And then thirdly, God sees our heart. And this is so important. Remember when Samuel the prophet came to the house of Jesse looking for the next king of Israel, and he has all the sons standing before him, and they discarded David. He was off taking care of the sheep. And Samuel said, "Don't you have another son? Oh, go get David." And so they bring David, and he comes, and they just can't believe that it's David is the one that God chose. And Samuel makes this statement in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. He says, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." See, God sees our heart, friend. He sees the things that no one else sees. Your intentions. He sees the pain, the wounds. He sees the motives and the dreams you never told anybody about. And then he still loves us. You might be like Hagar today in a wilderness of rejection. And maybe life has just pushed you out, and maybe people have written you off, but God has not. Jehovah Roi, El Roi, sees the single mom. He sees the pastor who feels like giving up. He sees the addict who wants to be free that everyone judges. God sees his heart. He sees the businessman that's facing bankruptcy. He sees the widow, the orphan, the forgotten. You're not invisible, friend. You're not forgotten. You're not alone. God sees you. Years ago, there was a prison chaplain who received a letter from an inmate, and it read like this: "No one comes to visit me, not even my family. But yesterday I heard the radio, and it said, God sees you. And I just sat in my cell and cried. I didn't know that he did, but now I do." You see, what that inmate was talking about was Jehovah Roi, the God who sees you. He sees you in the hospital bed, in the nursing home, or working the night shift, in the wilderness of shame and regret. God sees you, my friend. You may be listening right now and you feel like Hagar. Maybe you're running from God. Maybe you're running from your family and running from your reputation. Maybe you feel alone and wounded. Let me tell you, friend, Jehovah Roi, he sees you. And more than that, he invites you to come to him. Jesus put it like this. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This name that Hagar ascribed to God didn't just mean you're the God who sees, but he is also the God who stays. It's one thing to be seen, but it's another thing to be seen and then stay with you. We live in a world where people scroll past, they walk past, and sometimes they even run away from our brokenness. They see it, but they don't want to deal with it. People may notice your struggle, but they don't draw near. But listen, Jehovah Roi, he's not like that. The God I serve, God didn't just glance at Hagar from heaven. He came down. He found her. He spoke to her. He called her by name. And even more, he gave her purpose in her pain. He saw her, and he stayed with her. There's a story of a little boy who was orphaned at a young age, and he was placed in a foster home. And though the family was kind, he never felt like he belonged. And every night before bed, he would pull the chair to the window and open the curtain and stare out into the night. And one night, his foster mother asked him gently, "What are you looking for?" And the boy whispered, "When I was little, before my mom died, she told me something I never forgot. She said, whenever you feel lost or alone, just look at the stars because God sees you." And then he added, "So every night, I look up to see if he's still watching." The mother wrapped her arms around the little boy and said, "He's watching, and he sent me here to remind you that you're not forgotten." Maybe you've been looking out the window of your soul, friend, wondering if anyone sees, wondering if God still cares, wondering if your story matters. Let me assure you today, Jehovah Roi is watching, not from a distance, but with compassion, with presence, and with purpose. Thank you for joining me this week again on Fresh Oil. I so appreciate you tuning in each and every day. Walk in grace. God loves you.
If you enjoy the ministry of Fresh Oil, we invite you to check out Keith's books, which are available on Amazon.com. Keith has a memoir entitled, This Is My Story. In this book, he shares personal stories of divine encounters, answered prayers, as well as the battles he has faced as a pastor. Keith's book, Christ in the Seven Feasts of Israel, shares a picture of Jesus the Messiah, found in the ancient feast days God gave to Israel to celebrate. His book, The Grace Revolution, which Keith recently taught on Fresh Oil, is also available in paperback, hardcover, and the Kindle ebook. For more information, go to Amazon.com and search Keith Manley Books.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.